Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers, he is calling me Dude!
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to the Dudes on Hockey podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, have you been to see the new Spider-Man movie?
Oh, there's a new Spider-Man movie? Isn't it the guy from The Social Network or whatever?
Yes.
The guy who played
Andrew
like...
Andrew Garfield. He's British.
Yeah, he's like Mark Zuckerberg's third best friend. He was like third guy from the left
in the
movie.
He's the guy who gets kicked out. You know?
Yeah, that narrows it down.
He's the CFO.
That was like everybody at Facebook.
Have you seen
out.
The new Batman movie?
No, it hasn't come out yet. Doesn't it come out this weekend?
Maybe. I don't know. Listen, dude, I live in a cave. Okay?
Yeah, that's true.
I watched The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
The American one?
The American version.
Yeah, was it good?
It was okay.
Was it better than the Swedish version?
No.
Yeah.
No, the Swedish one was...
I like the Swedish one.
Yeah, we've seen all three of the Swedish ones.
Yeah, yeah.
The Swedish one was really good. This was still good, but not as good, dude. I'm just kind of hanging out like at home, you know, watching a bunch of TV.
No NHL Network is torture?
No NHL Network. Basically, no NHL, you know... broadcasts of any kind. You can go back and watch old games, I guess, but I haven't grown that desperate.
Yeah.
I did watch an NBA Summer League game.
Oh my God. How could you?
Dude. Come on, dude. I'm up like all hours of the night.
Can't you watch like, I don't know. Like
I'm watching MasterChef.
Watch the Pirates rerun. You know what I was watching today? Really good show. American Ninja Warrior. Good.
I've tried watching that too. It's like American like Gladiators without the American Gladiator.
Well, it's cool. The guys like actually try to go through. It's actually real. American Gladiators.
I was
BS.
Bored.
Yeah,
I was bored. And now, if you had like a lion chasing those guys through the obstacle course,
that would be good.
Then I'd be excited.
It would be good. All right, dude. I guess we're trying to waste time because there's nothing happening in the NHL.
I've got a lot of stuff to talk about today.
You do now?
I do.
Okay.
You know, this is my favorite time of year where we just sort of posture and make up crap.
Yeah. Like John Buchagras.
Oh, we got to start there.
Okay, we have to.
So, Fear the Finn brought to everyone's attention today a tweet from John Buchagras, who I don't even think we follow. Maybe we should start
doing that
on Twitter.
Although,
since he just throws out miscellaneous wishful thinking.
Maybe.
No, I mean, possibly this is true, and actually, I want to talk to you about it. For the listeners who did not see the post on Fear the Finn, Buchagras' tweet went something like this. He heard that a Marian Gaborik for Dan Boyle trade was close to happening, but did not happen. Now, Gaborik had shoulder surgery, right?
Right.
So, out.
Yeah.
You know. When this was going to happen, I'm assuming it was during the offseason. You know, because I think Boyle's trade provision says he can't be traded during the year.
I have no idea what.
I don't know either. Yeah. But first of all, thoughts on that trade if it is true and it happened.
No. No.
You don't want a 40 goal scorer in Marian Gaborik?
Yeah, between him and Havlat, we might get a whole 82 games.
That's not fair. Now Gaborik did play almost two full seasons.
Yeah, and then he was hurt before that, and he's hurt now, and he's older now. Great player, Marian Gaborik.
Listen, I'm playing devil's advocate.
Do
right
we
now.
Need another Martin Havlat?
I would have been beside myself if this had happened.
Better than Martin Havlat?
Oh,
definitely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. I didn't mean
this
that
guy
be a
when healthy is a 40 goal scorer.
Yeah.
I mean he's but the problem
when
with
healthy.
Marian Gaborik is healthy. I mean, this is a guy who went the Ovechkin route during the playoffs and was benched for stretches by Torts,
right?
You know, during the playoff run because he doesn't like to play defense and sometimes, you know, takes his own, you know, whimsical path through the maze of the hockey game,
right?
And it is exactly a, known as being a team player. No,
yeah, I'm not excited. I'm not excited about that. Marian Gaborik is 30 years old, so you would get slightly younger. As we mentioned on the podcast last week, Dan Boyle was what, seventh or eighth in the league in defensive points. You can't say that about Marian Gaborik. I mean, yeah, maybe he might run off one and turn into Jonathan Chichu or something like that, which isn't exactly a fair comparison. But
wait a second.
I mean, have a huge breakout year,
right?
With Joe.
Well,
as his center. But
even
Marian
if he
Gaborik
just had, if he had a Gaborik year,
right,
a 70 high 70 point year with 40 goals, you know, that's worth it. But you're taking a huge risk. So then in your top six, you have Hablat and Gaborik.
Right.
Like the, I mean, what was that movie with Samuel Jackson? Unbreakable.
Yeah.
I mean, basically you've got Samuel Jackson running around from Unbreakable.
Right.
You know, yeah. Come on. You yeah. know, this, I fear that this may have been true for two reasons, dude. Mm. One is the Boyle reunion with Torts. We know that worked out well the first time.
Sure.
Torts gotta love Boyle, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's a gamer.
Yeah.
He probably gives it right back to Torts. Yeah. I'd love to see some of that action,
It'd
right?
be fun.
So I believe that the Rangers would want Dan Boyle, all mm-hmm. right? I also believe that it's possible Doug Wilson would have wanted Gaborik because he's looking to upgrade his top six forwards. If you're looking for Nash and Nash is unachievable,
right,
then maybe you are going for another player mm-hmm. in that category. So that's one reason why I fear it's true. Another reason why I fear it might be true is that if the Rangers made that deal, they could then part with McDonough or
right.
Delzato in a Rick Nash deal
mm-hmm.
and not feel the sting at all
right.
for the near future.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It kind of sets them up to be able to part with
one of those guys
and not be, you know,
decimated.
If McDonough was the non-starter, then it wouldn't be decimating. So either way, Gaborik's out. That's not true, but it takes me to, Is it possible Dan Boyle isn't going to be here come October, dude?
Yeah, sure, anything's possible.
But are you on a like percentage chart? How afraid are you of it being a reality?
Not that afraid. If that's the quality of the kind of player that Doug Wilson would even consider taking in return for Dan Boyle, those kinds of trades don't happen every day.
Right.
This isn't like one of those, you know, we've talked about Douglas Murray, who is a good defenseman, a 5-4-5-6 defenseman in some people's eyes. You know, that's the kind of player that would go for a prospect and a pick or a couple picks or whatever it is. There's a lot of different permutations and combinations of a deal that would work with Douglas Murray. If you're trading Dan Boyle, who is, you know, a top 10 or 15 offensive defenseman in the league, you don't trade Dan Boyle for a number one draft pick in 2015.
No.
You know, you need good players coming the other way. And there's just not that many teams that are looking to make deals like that. I mean, Gaborik is one. I can't think of too many other players sort of in that class. I mean, we've talked about Thomas Plekanec before, possibly who Montreal might want to trade. I mean, I guess, but, you know, the number of players like for Dan Boyle straight up doesn't sound fair, but you know, the number of players that would sort of be in the conversation that you would want to trade for Dan Boyle is pretty small. So I don't see that. I don't see the likelihood of that being very high, although it does scare me to death.
I looked at money and comparables because the money for Gaborik and Boyle is in the ballpark. You know what I mean?
They're Gabrick's like, making more.
Yeah, making more, but it's like 700,000. You know, to assume the Rangers would have to take something else. They have to take a little trash, mm-hmm. you know, in order to make the money work. You know, other players I looked at, you know, Thomas Vonek, you know, but I don't think Buffalo's looking to lose scoring, right?
Right.
If Philly was hell-bent on Suter and didn't get him, I mean, maybe Briere, but that would not make me happy.
Like, no, not particularly.
So this is what I'm deathly afraid of now, dude.
Yeah.
Okay? That the Rick Nash situation for the Sharks has become a three-team trade. And Boyle is the piece that will go, and the other team will supply Columbus with what they need.
Right.
And we will get Rick Nash. That is what I'm afraid of. So let me phrase it this way. Simply, Boyle for Rick Nash, how do you feel if that's the deal?
That's a $7.8 million cap hit is when I think of Rick Nash. And so Boyle for Joe Pavelski, would you do it? Assuming Pavelski's on another team. That's what we're talking about, right? Because we had this exact same comparable the other week where we said Rick Nash and Joe Pavelski are actually quite similar scoring the last couple of years. Plus, Joe Pavelski is a center and more defensively sound. So, Boyle for Joe Pavelski, you want to make that swap? I don't know if I'd make that swap.
It's so hard. I mean, because
I'm in the tank for Boyle, I know. So it colors everything I think about.
Clearly,
yeah,
in the tank for Boyle. I mean, and he's our favorite player, and we obviously make no secret of that,
right? I wonder, you know, if this is a case where, you know, the Sharks were in the same position that, say, Calgary was before they made all these dumb moves in the offseason, okay? And the Sharks were sort of in that position where they had, like, one or two good players up front and a good defenseman in Boyle, and you wanted to trade him for a guy that was clearly younger. That I can make sense of. But, you know, we've talked many times about how the window for this team is closing. The window for this team is maybe a couple of years. If you're going to take away your best offensive defenseman without... Brent Burns is still an unknown, right? Brent Burns had a great season a couple years ago, and you want him to be this lights-out offensive defenseman. He wasn't exactly that for the Sharks next year, so you're taking a pretty big gamble if you're going to trade Boyle, especially for a guy like Nash, which is, can Nash flourish on a team where he may not get as many looks? I mean, he got every possible opportunity to succeed in Columbus, but he was out there all by himself, and so people could concentrate on him. Maybe he would flourish on a team like the Sharks, but then the Sharks wouldn't have the number one power play quarterback that they need. So, you know, I don't know. You know, it's to me, I don't know if I would want to give up an obvious number one defenseman for Rick Nash. Like, that's just a scary prospect. I'd almost rather give up Pavelski.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a really interesting question. I think it's got to be the poll question.
Who would you rather give up for Rick Nash, straight up, Pavelski or Dan Boyle?
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's, or neither. All right.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the
answer. No, you have
too.
To pick one, because then everybody's just, all the Sharks fans are just going to puss out and say neither.
Okay.
That's worse.
All right. We'll make people choose. And if you don't want to, if you don't have an answer, then don't vote. Damn it. Don't vote.
Just vote anyway. Suck it.
I think if I try and step away from this and leave my heart out of it, you look at the age of the players, you look at the contract term.
It's true.
You go, okay.
I know where you're going. Yeah.
You're setting yourself up for, if this doesn't work out, you know, the Sharks are like 20-1 to mm-hmm. win the cup next year, or mm-hmm. even worse.
Right.
I mean, that's the worst odds they've had in years.
Right.
You know, they are not among the elite anymore in terms of the early Vegas odds mm-hmm. as the team is currently constructed. You add Rick Nash to a core of Pavelski and Couture and Burns and Vlasic and Braun, and you're giving up an older player.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a good point.
It would be very difficult to be upset about it, other than the fact that you traded our favorite player.
Right. And but, probably the best defenseman who's ever played for the Sharks.
Oh, no. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
Well.
You're going to go Marcus Ragnarsson on me now? Come on.
I am a big Jay Moore fan.
Ally Afraidy. He's big. I saw him a few months ago.
Jeff Norton. So good we had it three times.
Yeah, that's right.
So anyways, just something to chew on.
Let's get away from this decidedly uncomfortable
conversation. So sorry, dude. Let's move into more posturing, okay? Well, we're talking about Rick Nash. Let's talk a little bit more about what came out this week in terms of what Scott Housen's looking for. For Rick Nash, he said he wants NHL-ready forwards.
Right.
NHL-ready forwards for Nash.
Plural.
Clearly, the Sharks are not a match.
Yeah.
We don't have that to offer. Mm-hmm. We don't. So, if Nash
has... Hansu's played in the NHL last year. That's all I'm saying.
Hansu's and Mashinter.
Just saying.
So, in terms of their direct price and needs, the Sharks are not a fit. Mm-hmm. That's why I think if the Sharks do get Rick Nash, it's going to be a third party that's going to be involved. And we know Doug Wilson loves to dance in these third party dances, right? We'll get Mark Bell.
How many? When's the last like major three team deal that's happened in the NHL? It's been a while.
I know. Well, it's could if happen. Anyone can resurrect it, yeah, it's CW, baby. It's okay. True. We've talked enough about Rick Nash. Let's talk about another dead horse of Shane Doan.
Yeah.
All right.
Detroit's the latest I heard, right? That seems
Detroit, the ugly stepchild right now of the free agent market.
The bridesmaid.
Why would Shane Doan want to go there?
Because they're good.
But no one seems to want to go there. Like, everyone has rejected them so far. So Shane Doan's going to be the one who's going to want to go. Is he really going to put them over the top? You look at their defense. You look at I think no one wants anything to do with it. I mean, that's
yeah. Detroit. You underestimate them at your peril, but you're right. It's you can't lose Rafalski and Lidstrom in 2 years and expect to be just as good.
And you didn't replace them.
It's just not possible. Unless you're right. Unless they went and got Suter
and they tried right. Supposedly
right.
And you have to imagine they were in on Matt Carl.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, if they signed like Michael Roosevelt or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's,
I hear Mike Commodore's available. Make it rain.
I mean, I'm not counting out Detroit for anything, and I think that they're going to certainly make a push to try and get a Keith Yandel type to come in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they're looking as appealing right now. If the Sharks aren't appealing, the Red Wings aren't appealing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Vancouver still seems to be the inside track if right. he doesn't stay in Phoenix.
Yeah. I unfortunately would agree with that. Interesting listening to Ryan Suter being interviewed on NHL Live on their season finale, where he basically admitted that the main draw to going to Minnesota was to play in his wife's home state, mm-hmm. and that his wife had a major part in this decision.
Mm.
Not a minor part, like a big part.
Right.
And, you know, I don't think we can discount the power of the wives in the NHL,
well, look especially at Chris Pronger. Chris Pronger.
Right. In the free agent decisions, I mean, these lovely, powerful ladies of yeah. the NHL will, and you know, they brought up a good point, is this isn't just, you know, this isn't just a team decision. This is a family decision.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And where are you going to be happiest? And I mean, he even said, happy wife, happy life.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting. You know, so Shane Doan's wife is from Vancouver.
Right.
That's not good news.
Shane Doan's wife does not want to live in Detroit.
Well, given the current economic,
yeah.
you know, plight of that city, would anyone? I just don't, yeah. I don't see that being a destination anymore.
Right.
And they're not even a lock to win. I'd be surprised if Shane Doan went anywhere on the East Coast. If he doesn't stay in Phoenix,
yeah.
I think the three West Coast teams have the best shot, and the Sharks never win in this type of situation.
Right. We're not going to be even Vancouver
though we desperately
in a bidding
need them. Yeah. I mean, if he's going to pick between the Sharks, the Stanley Cup champs, and Vancouver, where his wife is from, I think the Sharks are third.
Distant third.
They're in third place.
Yeah.
Unless he wants to come and be the guy who fixes everything.
Right.
Which maybe he does.
Maybe. I mean, he's been playing for a lost cause for many, many years.
Please come fix everything.
Oh.
Well, what about the crazy deal that was rumored to be offered Shane Doan of 4 years, $30 million?
That's just nuts. That's just bad guano.
Can't be real, right?
I mean, everybody's first reaction was Paul Holmgren, GM of the Flyers.
Not even he would do that.
That seems even nutty for him.
Because that's a third. I mean, didn't he just? He's getting massively burned on Chris Pronger's 35+ contract.
Sure, sure.
So he's going to do another one.
Oh yeah,
I mean he is nutty.
Though. That would be seriously nutty. I can't imagine that being true because I mean that's, you know, a lot of years, and that's even more money than I would have expected.
You know who that sounds like to me?
Glenn Zather.
No.
Who?
Garth Snow.
The Islanders just throwing money around.
Who else?
Yeah,
I mean, like that sounds.
But they've
like,
that sounds like who have they? Who have they signed yeah. like that? I mean, that's no. not a run. I mean,
I'm just thinking pure. I think purely illogical.
Ron Hainsey.
Yeah.
You know, I think these deals that are just nuts. And you know, Garth Snow, they've done some weird things. I mean, they ripped the DiPietro contract, which probably was Charles Wang more than Garth Snow. I don't even know if Garth Snow was the GM then, but they haven't really done like big money nuts deals.
You know who it could be is Buffalo. I mean, they yeah. did some pretty nutty contracts
they
last
season.
They
got a pretty
off-season.
New owner, and he might want to continue making a splash.
But that is, I'm also in the bag for Shane Doan being in teal, but 4 years, $30 million?
Not
that's
a chance.
That's a poison pill. I mean,
not
that's bad, bad news.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll all just kind of keep our eye on that. What would you say is a reasonable contract?
I mean, $7 million isn't out of the question for Shane Doan for 2 years.
Oof, really? $7 million?
If there's a bidding war, that's not out of the question.
Oh, yeah. So now he's making the same as Joe?
Yeah.
No.
I know. I mean, I don't think it's out of the question for a team to pay him $7 million.
Oh, well.
For a couple of years.
If it's $7 million, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out.
I'm probably out, too.
I would go the term of 3 years, but I'd go 3 years 15. Yeah. I'd go 3 years 15.
There's no way. He's going to get much more than that. He's going to get much more than $5 million average. I mean, I guess they could load it, but... Speaking of which, maybe we should talk about the CBA. You got that in that big list of yours?
No.
Okay.
Because it's boring.
What else you got?
No, let's talk about the CBA, dude. This is your bread and butter.
This is my bread and butter. So the owners apparently made a first shot over the transom for the players, and they basically asked for everything. They asked for the players to each make $1.50 a season. And where the players now have to pay for food and their skates, and they have to drive themselves to the rink. some people said, you know, this means war and there's going to be a lockout and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, it is shocking when you hear the first deal, which is they want to cut the player share by 11%. They want to cut it down to 47% overall from 57. They want the players to take basically like a 22% pay cut. They want a 5-year contract limit. They want where the salary in every year is always the same. They want to increase the age for unrestricted free agency, which of course the players would never ever accept.
They basically want you to be under team control for like 10 years, right?
Right, for 10 years. They want entry-level contracts to be 5 years and not 3, which is also beneficial for the clubs. They want the removal of salary arbitration. So they basically want everything, and the kitchen sink, and you know the leftovers that your mom made for dinner last night. I mean, they want everything. So as a negotiating tactic, I guess it makes sense. The question is, what's going to be the player's counteroffer, and then what's going to be the owner's counteroffer to that? And I think if we can get some information about what those counteroffers are, then we can get a better idea as if there's going to be a lockout or not. Because it could be like the players are, you know, saying, you're absolutely nuts. And from what I've read recently, Donald Fair, who's now the player's agent, you know, the player's representative, says, you know, don't forget that you gave up tons in 2005. You gave up a lot. Like, the, you know, the players took a 25% pay cut across the board. You know, they did this whole thing. They took it, you know, the cap came into effect, all this stuff. And so now the owners want just the players to take another huge haircut, and where the overall revenues of the league have gone up by 40 or 50% since then. And it's like, oh, that's not enough for us to get 40 or 50% more money. Now you got to take another haircut. So we'll see what the next couple offers are. And that's going to give us a better idea of whether there's going to be a lockout or not, or if anybody should panic. I'm not panicking yet because it's just negotiating and it's lawyers and they're in a room and they want to say, I want everything. And the other guys say, you want nothing. And they say, let's split it. And they go, okay. And they shake hands and they walk out. So we don't know if that's going to happen or not. But that first offer is pretty ballsy. I'll give them that. That's pretty ballsy.
Brass ballsy.
That would be, you know, probably without a doubt, the most owner-friendly collective bargaining agreement in sports.
There's no way that they thought that they'd make that proposal and the players would be like, okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Thank you.
They just like fall over, you know, just laid over. Way. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
They knew that there's going to be a counter and a counter and a counter. I mean, the question is,
what are the sticking points?
Right.
You know?
And is it going to get to a lockout? Now, you know, I think we talked about this last week too, where, you know, Donald Fear has said that it's possible that the players would be willing to operate under the current CBA for next season.
Right.
And they can continue to negotiate in good faith during the season. So I think even by sort of throwing that out there, that is possible. I don't know why anyone would want to go to a lockout. I mean, when some NHL teams are making so much money,
mm-hmm.
like they're really going to walk away from, I mean, I thought I heard a number like $3 billion in revenue or something.
Yeah. I think that's about like, what it is.
I mean, you know, we're not talking about, you know, the box office receipts for, you know, Magic Mike or something here. Like, we're talking about more than that. We're talking about a lot more than that. So, lockout's just so drastic, and
especially
I know there was a player that came out supposedly this week and was like, this is gonna be in a lockout.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, that's posturing. And plus, remember what happened in 94 when there was another lockout, which is the league signed like a brand new TV deal right before that. I think the Rangers had just won the cup, like all this great stuff happened, and then the league just basically went away mm-hmm. for a long time, and that really killed the momentum. And I'm sure that everybody's sort of remembering that a little bit.
Hey, no, ESPN off, you know, yeah. No more NHL on ESPN.
Right.
Which for ESPN probably ended up being a good thing because now they're, you know, all in with the NBA. But mm-hmm. an NBA is, it makes more money than the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
NHL's found its way with the NBC Sports and all that. But yeah, it's troubling. Too soon to say.
It's too soon to say if there's anything serious to be worried about. All right, dude.
Okay.
That's my digression.
Other odds and ends. Brody Brazil of Comcast Sports writing about how Daniel Winnick and Brad Winchester could potentially return, and he feels like the door wasn't completely closed. Didn't it sound awfully slammed shut?
Sure
when
did.
Doug Wilson made the statement, didn't have to, but even just said, we've moved on. I mean,
right.
What percentage do you give of either of these two guys coming back?
10%. It's not zero, because if Brody heard something, he probably heard something. It's just a question of how much. And maybe we've moved on means Daniel Winnick wants $4 million and we told him where to get off. And maybe since Daniel Winnick is clearly not signed yet and we haven't heard any rumors about him being signed anywhere, maybe his self-regard or his agent's regard for him as worth as a player has come down a hair, and maybe he's back in sort of the Sharks' price range. Who knows? Because, you know, we've moved on means could mean a number of things. It could mean, one, we don't want him, which is one way of taking it. Another is his demands are so off the charts that we can't even entertain signing him for anywhere close, and so we're not even going to try. So if it's number two, then, yeah, Winnick could come back. I don't know anything about Winchester. I mean, the way Winchester's been playing and how much he's been playing, I can't imagine why the Sharks would want to sign him, because they never play him. So what will be the point of signing Brad Winchester and then playing him 3 minutes or 4 minutes a night and then sitting him? Frazier McLaren can do the same thing as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I like Brad Winchester better, but if they're not going to play him, there's no point.
I wish that we could talk to somebody and find out what happened with Daniel Winnick. Like, I would love to know what happened, because this Jamie McGinn trade just is looking worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
Every single day that the Sharks don't keep Winnick. Like that if he came and they decided they didn't like him.
Yeah.
And they made the choice, we don't want him back. Well then, what an awful trade.
Right.
You know, this, you've traded away a guy who scored 20 goals, up and come, finally figured it out after a few years of being lost and Tom McClellan hating him, mm-hmm. you know. Now he's figured it out, he's going to go figure it out for another team. He's going to play top six forward minutes probably for Chicago, Colorado.
Right.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I don't know if I want Winnick to stay more so that trade doesn't look as bad or that I really like him as a player. I mean, I did like what I saw out of him. I think he could help. Another blog post written by Comcast Sports insider, Kevin Kurz. Which I feel for
sugar-free candy,
because they're making the Giants beat writer Baggerly do the same kind of dumb commercials.
Oh.
So I don't feel as much
animosity
towards Kurz over, because
it's not his fault. Dude.
No, it's not his fault. It's not his fault.
Giants are eating sugar-free candy.
I mean, he writes a very valid post about how the Sharks have not addressed their secondary scoring. What he means by that is, their bottom six last year, I guess combined, those players scored 21 goals.
Yeah,
like all of them.
Wow.
I mean, that's
brutal.
That's not good. Yeah. You know, that's not good. Now, didn't get a full season of Tommy Wingles. I mean, what is he capable of putting up McGinn's type of production? We haven't quite seen that yet from him. Right?
I'm on the record about Tommy Wingles so far, so I'm not going to rehash that again. But I'm not yet convinced about Tommy Wingles.
James Shepard, who knows?
No, I mean, definitely knows? Nobody knows that.
Hans Juice, we know.
Well, we know about that one.
Gagliardi, also, who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, like, a energy player. Burrish is, I mean,
yeah.
You know, 5 to 7 goals out of that guy is what you'd expect. And Desjardins, about the same, mm-hmm. you know? So it is a little alarming. Now, going back to that email we got from our mystery credible source a couple mm-hmm. weeks ago, talked about Joe Pavelski moving down to the third line and being used as a third line center like we saw 2 years ago.
Right.
And this could only happen if the Sharks get Rick Nash or Marian Gaborik or someone like that to play his spot in the top six. And now you have a 20-30 goal scorer playing in your third line.
Right, right. That would be nice, obviously.
So that changes the dynamic a little bit.
Yeah, that would solve that problem.
Even if you get Shane Doan. If you get Shane Doan, you could move Pavelski down to that third line center spot, and now your third line just became way better.
And then he'll go play for Carolina when his contract is up, like Jordan Staal.
Right. You know, I don't know if that's the best way to use Joe Pavelski, but I mean, do you think that's the answer? Is getting another top six forward and sliding Pavelski down? Or is it trying to get a real bottom six forward to play that role and not go the Jordan Staal route?
I don't know. It depends. I can't think of anybody in the latter category, the bottom six forward route, that really fits the bill.
There's no one out there right now. I mean, even Daniel Winnick doesn't solve that problem.
Not really. So,
you know, I mean, this is like, that's a guy, you know, we're talking 8 to 10 goals.
Yeah.
You know,
so I sort of made the Jordan Staal joke, but I do worry about that a little bit. I mean, we talk about this team may needing sort of a rebuild, not maybe a rebuild, but a restart in a couple years when some of these players kind of age out, like Joe Thornton and Dan Boyle and Patrick Marleau. And we talk about the core of this team, and Joe Pavelski is a big part of that. And if we're going to play him on the third line, I have to admit, the thought has occurred to me that Jordan Staal, one of the reasons why he left, I mean, other than playing with his brother, is, you know, I'm a damn good player here and I'm playing on the third line. Like, what am I doing? You know what I'm saying? I worry about that a little bit with Joe Pavelski. And maybe this is just a completely unfounded feeling, but I'd be surprised if that didn't factor a little bit into Jordan Staal's thinking, which is, I can play with my brother and I can play good power play time and I'm going to get the opportunity to be a very effective forward.
That's exactly what happened.
And if Joe Pavelski plays with Adam Burrish and James Shepherd, you know, and he puts up, you know, if he puts up 20 goals, it'd be a friggin' miracle, right? With those two guys.
Well, he'd go from a high 60s potential to a high 40s type guy.
That's right. Basically stunting his numbers. And his contract is up, and the Sharks are happy with this arrangement because the third line is now very dangerous and, you know, one of the more dangerous third lines. But Joe Pavelski's like, dude, I like Adam Burrish and all, but come on. You know, it's like, he's my boy and everything, but...
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting thought, and I can't help but think that this is possibly where we're headed by the...
Right.
Gabrick rumor by the Shane Doan chase. I'm putting out my X-Files theory right now.
Okay.
All right. I think the Sharks are in hot on Shane Doan. If they don't get Shane Doan, then I fear for Dan Boyle's roster spot on this team.
Yeah.
And I think that he is the pawn to get Rick Nash. They will use Boyle to get Nash. And Boyle will not be traded to Columbus. They don't need him or want him. But he'll go somewhere else. And that team will supply what Columbus wants for Rick Nash. And that's just that's my conspiracy theory of moment, dude.
All right, dude. What else we got here?
so we can replay that when I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, dude. What? You got somewhere to be?
Yeah, dude. You know how I like to keep this snappy.
This is entertaining, dude.
Okay.
You don't think this is entertaining?
It's entertaining for us.
I haven't heard anyone turn off their iPod yet. I want to talk about the Drew Mender interview on Mayock versus Wyshynski because you brought that up a little bit.
Dude. Last week, yeah.
Here are some things that I gleaned from that.
Uh-huh.
He said that Scott O'Neill was almost an assistant coach.
I didn't mention that because who cares?
So, well, I wonder if that had happened, does that mean Larry Robinson would not have come?
Yeah, that's what I think.
I don't know. I think he still would have come because we got two new guys anyways.
That's true.
So, I thought that was interesting. He also mentioned ex-Shark Dean Evason.
Yeah. Okay.
Woohoo! This is my favorite part of the... Because you said Larry Robinson is a player's coach, right? Let me tell you a story about what was on Mayock versus Wyshynski. This story about when Robinson was playing for the Canadiens. And I guess Patrick Waugh had been letting in a few soft goals.
Uh-huh.
And they were all taking, I guess, a team sauna. And
okay.
This had been prearranged, supposedly. Larry Robinson walks into the sauna. Patrick Waugh's in there. Some other teammates are in there. When Robinson walks in, all the other guys walk out and just leave. It's Robinson and Patrick Waugh. And Robinson stands up, goes over to Patrick Waugh, and says, "Hey, no more bad f***ing goals." And walks out.
Nice. Okay.
So I thought it was funny that they were like, "So is he here to say that to Antti Niemi?"
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. Maybe that's what he's going to do.
Well, I mean, and Romendo said, maybe. You know what I mean? But this is the guy who has that 9 Stanley Cup kind of credibility.
Right.
Who's not going to be afraid to say something like that.
It's true.
Another thing Romendo brought up that I hadn't really thought about, but he was really critical of the Sharks not having a full-time goalie coach.
Mm-hmm. It makes sense. I can't think of another. I can't say I am super up on every other team's goalie coaching situation, but it is odd. It seems like most other teams, when you look, you know, we get the game sheet every time we go to the Sharks game, and almost, you know, pretty much every other team that I remember have a goalie coach listed on their roster. And right now it's Corey Schwab, who's mostly in Worcester, and Wayne Thomas, who has like 4 different jobs in the organization, including assistant general manager of the San Jose Sharks, the general manager of the Worcester Sharks, and he's some sort of goalie coaching capacity. I mean, the guy's doing everything but washing bottles. It's crazy. So yeah, I agree with that statement. If, you know, we certainly remember the days of Nabokov and how Warren Strelo was a very instrumental part of his success. And if Antti Niemi's a young goaltender and is maybe losing his way a little bit and sort of slipped to the middle to maybe slightly below average in terms of numbers, how could that not help?
Yeah, Romenda would know, and Romenda said this, that Niemi is better when Schwab is here.
Right.
And when Schwab isn't here is when Niemi is letting in bad f***ing goals. So, I don't know. Yeah. I don't think he just said that to say it, because we know Drew is a super homer.
Yeah.
And he's not usually very critical of the organization, but he felt very strongly about that, okay? This was the other huge thing that they brought up and they talked about, that Drew said the problem with the Sharks is that after a loss, they say all the right things, but it never really hits home. And this was the quote that they said, that the Sharks lose easy.
Yeah.
They lose easy. Okay. How can they fix that?
If I knew the answer, if there was an easy answer out
there. Is Marian Gaborik the answer to not losing easy?
Right. Especially since I remember the final goal in that Rangers series, which was almost directly attributed to Marian Gaborik, who was playing with one shoulder, but still, I remember looking at that. I'm like, holy crap, that dude misses assignment. Who was that? Oh, that was Maria Gaborik. I remember replaying a particularly bad goal near the end of that series.
They're saying they want to see one of the Sharks players like lose their mind after a loss. Like, not just like Jumbo sitting in his locker and with no shirt, kind of giving the party line.
Right.
I mean, the closest thing, we have two guys that's close. I mean, Ryan Clough has lost his mind a few times by playing the puck on the bench and stuff. Yeah. But they were winning that game when that happened. Right. I mean, he was just crazy. Dan Boyle is the closest guy they have.
Right.
I mean, maybe Adam Burrish now, but who just is sort of openly emotional. You feel like you can see it in his demeanor.
You
after
want to see
games.
A guy punch a fire extinguisher.
Right. You want to see someone just go completely mental after a loss and blow up. And the Sharks don't have a player like that. They don't have that presence in the locker room. And Romenda was advocating for Shane Doan, saying that would change a lot.
Right.
If you add a player like that. So,
yeah. I mean,
another reason why we should be disappointed when he goes to Vancouver.
Great, dude.
One last thing for you, dude. One of the most high profile players who's going to arbitration, you know, Gagliardi avoided arbitration, Jamie Ginn avoided arbitration, is TJ Oshie.
Okay.
Any interest in TJ Oshie?
Of course, but there's no chance the Blues let him walk.
No chance?
0.0. You,
if you're going down this path towards arbitration and it starts to get filled with animosity, you know, they get into that room.
Yeah.
If it gets that far, you know, it's hard to recover from that.
I don't know. You know,
Would you think Ryan Clough for TJ Oshie?
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Do you think they'd even entertain that? That's not enough. Huh?
Hell no.
Pipe dreams.
I love TJ Oshie as a player. He's a great, great player.
He's exactly the kind of guy you'd want to add, except for the fact that he misses practice sometimes.
Right.
But,
He's like Benji on the Howard Stern show.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear that today?
Oh, yeah.
Benji, late. Yeah. He might get fired.
Banned. Banned from the wrap-up show.
Man. We should have a Howard Stern podcast, too. We could be like Eric. God. We could be like Eric the actor.
Okay, dude. Well, a lot of rumors and conjecture today.
No emails this week. I'm a little disappointed in the listeners.
We did get one email from a listener who writes a blog for the San Francisco Bulls. And her name is, I believe her name is Martha.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
the
yeah,
website,
yeah.
Do you give the website information?
SFBullsFan.blog.com from Martha. She said some nice things. So I apologize, Martha. I didn't mean to say that your email doesn't count. You just didn't ask us any questions that we could read on the air. So, but we appreciate the nice comments. And check out Martha's blog.
I checked it out. It's good information about the Bulls, you know, which is a team that has one player, and you know, you want to talk about us sort of spinning our wheels. Martha's really spinning her wheels trying to figure out something to write about.
Yeah,
you got no players, yeah. You got nothing, yeah. You know. At least now you've got the affiliation with the Sharks. You sort of speculate about which players will be in San Francisco. Last thing before we go, dude, who would you like to see of the Sharks prospects realistically be playing in San Francisco? Like, if you could go up there, you know, let's say, I mean, I don't know, it's probably realistic. We might go twice.
Sure.
You know?
Well, the obvious choices are goalies, right? Because the Sharks are so deep at goalie. And, you know, I think we could see, you know, Heemskerk or somebody like that. You know, even Stalock if somebody else wins the job in Worcester, something like that. But we should see, you know, we talked about maybe the Sharks' number two goalie actually playing in Worcester. The Sharks' number three goalie might actually end up playing in San Francisco. So the Sharks' third best goalie, we might actually be able to see within driving distance here. And those are the kinds of players I would imagine. I mean, you know, we look at the Sharks' ranking in Hockey's Futures and other places. I think they were 27th on Puck Prospectus and dead last on Hockey's Future. There's not a lot of great offensive or defensive prospects that we could possibly see in San Francisco, but goaltending is another story.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it's Harry Sateri because I want to see. I think Sateri should be playing 50 games, you know, and I think there's no question that Stalock is going to be the number one guy in Worcester, and you don't want Sateri just sitting there watching Alex Stalock play and play like 20 games.
Sure,
you know, if you have Heemskerk, you let him do that. I think he's the one who is.
Yeah, Sateri's the one, isn't he?
It should be Sateri, and I definitely would be stoked to drive up there and see him.
Yeah,
you know?
Me too.
Because you would hope that guy would dominate the ECHL and be a really, really good player in that league. So that's my hope, dude.
Yeah, and if he plays or another good Sharks prospect plays up there, I'm going to be even more likely to go see the games.
And that would, you know, we saw Sateri come up as a backup. Like, he started the year as the backup when Grice was hurt, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it? No, Niemi was hurt. Niemi was hurt.
Right.
And Grice had to start, and Sateri was the backup.
Right.
To have a real NHL possible backup be 45 miles away,
yeah,
I think logically makes sense. If you have Heemskerk there, that's a little less confidence in bringing him down and having him actually play.
That's true.
So,
good call,
more,
dude.
More mythical hyperbole.
Yeah.
45 minutes, dude. We did it.
Nice, dude. We did it. It's the middle of July.
I gotta go home and wash some bottles, dude.
Yeah, you go do that, dude. And we'll be back again next week talking about all the exciting stuff that happened.
Even less.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.